It's the time of year when we're all thinking about goals and priorities. Now is the time to plan your next trip. Whatever kind of travel fills you up, whether it's lounging on the beach, connecting with family and friends, or going on a foreign adventure, Expedia has the tools you need to plan a great trip. Download the Expedia app or visit Expedia.com to start planning. You do need to be a One Key member to use price tracking. Signing up is easy and free. Expedia, made to travel. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help, and can't get a hold of anyone. If you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right, a real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
Since I was a little girl, I've kept quotes because I love being able to have wisdom from other people shared with me in such a way that it sticks with me. So I would take little quotes and I'd put them on the mirror, or I'd put them on my dresser, or I'd have quotes on the walls. And I remember growing up, there was a quote about, I do my thing and you do your thing. I'm not in the world to live up to your expectations. I would put that on my door so that my father would see it when he came across my room every time. So I've always been keeping quotes my whole life. One of my favorite quotes that struck me the moment I heard it came from my favorite author, Maya Angelou. Growing up, reading was my passion. Books were my escape into a world that went beyond my front door. I loved her books. I read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings I don't know how many times before I was an adult. From the time I opened the first page and What You Looking at Me For didn't come to stay, only came to say Happy Easter Day, struck me because I was a black girl, just like Maya Angelou, growing up in the church, being raised by my grandmother, doing Easter pieces. Imagine growing up and getting to become friends, not just friends, sister, daughter, mentor to Maya Angelou. Unimaginable to me that that would happen. I would now say that she was one of the greatest influences in my entire life. She was like a mother to me, a sister to me, a friend to me, has been a great mentor for me. And I have sat at her table, sat at her feet, sat on the side of her bed, sat on her floor, listened to her words of wisdom for years. And I remember the very first time I went to visit her, I could not believe, you know, it was one of those out-of-body things. I could not believe I am in Maya Angelou's house. I grew up, it just makes me tear to think about it. I grew up reading her books. She was like the biggest rock star in the world to me. And now I'm sitting in her house. And you know the first thing she did? She cooked a meal for me and she read me poetry. I sat at her feet and she read Paul Laurence Dunbar to me out loud. Unbelievable. And I was telling her my life story and sharing with her some of the mistakes I'd made in my 20s. And I shall never forget, in that moment, she said to me, that was when you're 20, and now you're in your 30s. When you know better, you do better. It's one of the great lessons of my life that I loved so much, I wanted to share it with our viewers. And not only did I share it, every time I got a chance to say those words, I did.
That's all anybody can do is
speak from what they know.
That's right.
And when you know better, you do better, Dennis.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Do you know how freeing those words are? How freeing they can be for you? What it means is you don't have to hold yourself hostage to who you used to be or anything you ever used to do. Because who has lived and hasn't made mistakes? When I think about my 20s and what a foolish girl I was and how I would give over my power to men who really didn't mean me well, but now I hold no grudges against them either because I realize I'm the one who gave over the power because I didn't know any better. And now that I know better, I know I don't have to do that again. It's one of the most powerful lessons any of us can ever know. We all have some things that you wish you hadn't done. It doesn't matter who you are or what you did. When you know better, you can do better.
In 2006, we did a show going inside the dark world of prostitution. Contessa was a mother of five who never imagined that she would end up selling her body to strangers.
Before the drugs and prostitution, I was happy. I was a mom. I had a house, two cars. Life was going really well. And then everything left. First my husband, then my kids, and then all my belongings. When my husband left, I started using drugs. Then I started prostitution. Men just pull over. I tell them my price, and we go handle business. I did that all day long, from sunup to sundown. I felt what I was doing was wrong, but I couldn't stop. The whole time I was out there, I was always in the hospital. I was raped twice. I was sliced in my face, and I was stabbed with an ice pick. After a while, the family stopped showing up at the hospital because I think they were getting tired of it. When they stopped showing up, I knew I had nothing, nobody. That's the big part. I hurt my family. I'm proud of myself for what I'm doing now. I got a job, got my own place to live. But it's still hard. I still feel bad. I don't feel clean yet. I know one day I will. Feel like a dirty person all the time. So I try to buy clothes, and I try to keep my hair done and put on a little makeup. But it still doesn't work. They have just used me up so much and turned me into nothing.
That was Contessa. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you. Contessa is part of a Minneapolis program called Pride that helps women and children get out of prostitution. What was your turning point to decide to stop?
When I thought I was going to get shot, when a guy put a gun to my head before, mm-hmm. That's when I knew I had to stop. And I just saw myself getting shot.
Mm-hmm. How long were you on the street prostituting?
About a year, 2 years.
How long since you stopped?
2 years.
2 years.
And some months.
And do you still feel dirty?
Yes, I don't know. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I'm all used up.
You are not used up. You are not used up. That is something that you did. That is something that you did. And when you know better, you do better. Now you know better, you do better. That's something you did. That is not who you are. And your testimony is going to save somebody. Somebody's going to see themselves in you. And I look in your eyes, I see myself in you. Because when I was 14 years old, I was running the streets, and there but for the grace of God, if my father hadn't taken me in, I could have been you. So you are not used up. You are not used up. I want to hear you say that. I want to hear you say, I am not used up.
I am not used up.
Say it and mean it. You are not used up.
I am not used up.
God has great plans for you. God has great plans for you. Great things will happen to you in your life for learning to tell the truth. And so you just have to claim that for yourself. You have to claim it. Because there but for the grace of God, but somebody, my father, showed me the way. And I was able to turn my life around, and so can you. You are not used up. Say it.
I am not used up.
All right. God bless.
I said that to her because when I was 14 years old, I became pregnant. And hid the pregnancy for 7 months until the baby was born. And I say the baby because I was so disassociated and still do feel such a disassociation. I never felt like it was my baby. And in the process of hiding that secret and carrying that shame really blocked me in so many ways that I remember being taken to the detention home when my mother was going to put me out of the house at the age of 14 and being taken to the detention home and waiting to be processed through the detention home and recognizing in that moment that I have been abused since I was 9 years old, raped at 9 years old, abused at 10 years old, molested for all of those years, and now pregnant as a result of that. And looking around the detention home at all of these girls who'd been placed there for being bad girls. And I remember having a moment thinking, now I am officially a bad girl. I'm now, for the rest of my life, going to be called a bad girl because I'm going to be put in this place. And thinking to myself sitting there waiting to be processed that I really don't belong here and I don't even know how this happened to me, that I am in a place for bad girls because I didn't feel like I was a bad girl. And as I sat there thinking, I don't belong in this place for bad girls because I'm not a bad girl. A woman comes out and says to myself and to my mother, I'm sorry, Miss Lee, but there's not enough room on our docket for your daughter. You'll have to come back in 2 weeks. There isn't enough room for her here. And my mother and I had to leave. And I was released to go to live with my father. And that was my saving grace. And so from that moment forward, I felt like I had been somehow saved, that somebody up there, out there, recognized that I wasn't a bad girl. And now here I was going to have another chance. And after I gave birth at 14 years old, to a child that I never even knew how this even happened to me at the time. When that child died, my father said to me, this is your second chance. This is your opportunity to seize this moment and make something of your life. And I took that chance and understood for myself, even though I didn't have the words to articulate it, that now I know better, so I can do better.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store, and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You know what? It's never too late to change. It's never too late to change. The moment you recognize that the person you have been or the actions that you have taken is not who you want to be, it's not how you want to live your life, it's not what you want to keep manifesting and projecting for yourself in your life, the moment of awareness is the moment you can begin to turn that around. And it doesn't matter how despicable the act has been. I don't stand in judgment of other people's acts because I know I've had acts of my own, and I know that, as I said to Contessa, there but for the grace of God could be I. And I know that even when people say damaging, hurtful, vitriolic things, and they are said out of ignorance, that there is an opportunity for even the worst of those to change. Every time I did a show with skinheads or the Ku Klux Klan, I always felt that I was carrying the burden of every Black person, of every Jewish person, of every person who'd ever been shamed or hurt or manipulated or treated violently by any one of these groups. And it was during this show with the skinheads that I had a major epiphanal aha revelatory moment.
And my next guest is vice president of the Aryan Youth Movement. He says that white people built this nation and have now lost it. So he is recruiting white youth to help win it back. Meet Dave Mazzella. Do you believe that only white people created this country?
Everything that's created around here is created by white people. You know, Blacks can follow instructions. You know, anybody can follow instructions. You know, you follow rules and you can build something.
Please let him speak. Please let him speak.
You know, you look at everything, all the great poets and all the music writers and, you know, builders, great architects who are white. You know, Blacks, they still live in the jungles of Africa. You know, they come over here. White people teach these people. You know, they didn't create anything over here. They just followed us. You know, we taught them. White people taught Blacks.
Okay, who have you taught?
Who have I taught? Mm-hmm. I've taught my fellow brothers, and Mike,
why is violence necessary?
Violence is necessary when it's brought to us. And we've had people come at us with bats, knives, and stuff like that. Why? Because we were white.
I just heard what you said. You just said, I don't sit with monkeys. You think because she's Black, because I'm Black, we're monkeys? Is that?
It's a proven fact.
That's a proven fact? It's a proven fact that I'm a monkey?
Could be, but, you know, it's...
Now, go ahead.
First thing I want to get off my mind is...
No, hell, I want to talk about this monkey stuff.
These skinheads... Oh, yeah, right.
All right, here we are.
The ADL, okay?
No. I want to talk about the monkey business. I want to talk about...
The energy in the room with that group of skinheads, you could have cut it. The poison, the toxicity was so thick. You could have cut it.
Okay, so you guys are skinheads too. Do you believe in what they believe in?
And so you can hear it in my voice. You know, my voice becomes higher pitched because I am feeling a sense of agitation and, you know, being aggravated because I know that this is really volatile ground I'm walking on. And we all can feel it in the room. What I realized is I don't have to feel that. I don't have to put myself through that ever again. And I certainly don't want to take this feeling that I'm having in this room, in this television audience, studio audience, and have that energy put out into the world with all of you. That was a huge lesson for me. When they left, I made a decision that I would no longer allow the platform that I had, the Oprah Winfrey Show, to be misused by people who were carrying any form of negative energy that could create more negative energy in the world. And that shift came in the moment that those skinheads walked out of the audience. I realized as they were nodding and raising their fists to one another and shaking their heads in agreement that what I thought I had been doing was allowing people to see how violent, how abusive, how not smart they were, that I was actually doing the opposite, that I was giving that energy a forum, and I no longer wanted to be a part of giving that kind of negative energy power into the world. And it was elevating for me in the way that I recognize what this platform really is. It's an opportunity to connect. It's an opportunity to reach and say, inform, enlighten, touch other people's lives in a way that I hadn't recognized until that day with skinheads. When you know better, you do better, even if you got to learn it from a skinhead. And I share that with you all because many times doing what you shouldn't be doing is one of the greatest teachers. I recognize in that moment, I should not be doing this, and I'm never going to put myself in that position again. So years later, 22 years later, when the producers come back to me and say, we would like to bring these guys back on for the 25th season, I had to think long and hard about that because I've made a vow to myself that I will not be a representative of the force of dark energy in the world, period. And have been in many situations with my producers where there was some really fascinating show or idea, compelling, that they thought would work, but I felt that for myself, it's presenting dark energy into the world, and so I won't do it. So I had to be really assured by them that these guys had really made a turn in their life, and I was prepared to go on the air, tape that show, hear and feel for myself whether or not I thought they had actually made a change. And if they had not, you would never have seen it. But because in the middle of the interview, I thought, this is real. They're not just doing this for television. They're just not now trying to come back and have a moment. I let the show air.
Yeah, first and foremost, I'd like to express, you know, absolutely from the bottom of my heart, I apologize for how we were on your show, because we were rude, we were arrogant, we were disruptive and hateful. And I apologize first and foremost to you just for the evil that we experienced.
Apology accepted.
And Mike, where were you in your life at that time?
It really brings tears to my eyes.
Really?
So.
Really?
Yes, so. That kid was lost.
Mm. Yeah. And. You were lost. Yeah.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What turned you around? Because, well, okay, let's talk about this. That was your intention, to come on and promote your picture.
Oh, most definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, that's what I thought when you guys left. I thought, well, you know, I think I'm doing one thing. I'm thinking that I'm exposing it, but they're recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
That was a recruitment mechanism.
We actually used that show as a recruitment tool.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Did you?
Most definitely. Good or bad publicity for us was always was always positive for us.
Well, 1 year after that show, Mike went to prison for defacing a synagogue. Dave went to jail for assault. And Mike says you had an epiphany in prison. What happened?
I did. Well, I went through San Quentin first as my reception center. They sent me down to Vacaville, down to a ranch out there, so I got to work outside. And the crew they put me on was entirely black, including the black sergeant. So here I am, the only white guy, you know.
On an all-black crew.
On an all-black crew.
And you're a white supremacist.
And white supremacist. And we're working with power tools.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I bet you weren't waving that white supremacist flag. <That's right. laughs> No.
But what happened? Was, you know, was these guys accepted me for who I was. Mm-hmm. They already knew about my past because it was tattooed all over my back and my neck. I had swastikas all over me and stuff like that.
Wow.
But they treated me like a human being. Mm. And it just taught me that everybody is a human being. Mm-hmm. And we can't just hate people. Mm.
So it was your being accepted by an all-black crew in prison that started to change you. Was it immediate or is it gradual?
It's a stripping away, because you have to understand I had so many layers of hardness on my heart that I believe that the Lord was stripping away that hardness.
Well, this is what I felt sitting there. Isn't the universe a beautiful place? Here's one of the most vehement, vitriolic of the skinheads. I remember him, like, spitting anger up on the stage. And the thing that turns him around is a group of black inmates at San Quentin. How sweet is that? That's what I thought. I thought, wow, that is just sweet. That you end up in San Quentin with all of these black inmates, these prisoners, who are in many ways, I'm sure, just as hardened as you are, and it is through that experience that you get to be awakened. It means it's possible for anybody. That's what I learned from that experience. It is possible for anybody. to wake up and do better.
What made you change, Dave?
Well, about 6 months after the show, my job was, I was a recruiter, and I traveled around recruiting.
And you used the tape for recruitment
purposes.
That
was one thing. It kind of let me in the doors. And I ended up recruiting a group up in Portland, Oregon that ended up murdering an Ethiopian student.
Wow.
And at that point, that woke me up. And I realized that there's consequences to ideas. You know, thoughts and things that we say do truly have consequences. And here I was motivating people to do this. And that woke me up. And it got my attention.
Do you feel better as a human being now? Do you feel differently?
Almost definitely. I feel differently. I'm so embarrassed because of my past. I don't like it. And it's humiliating because I look where I was then and where I'm at now.
But do you feel that your ability to change is evidence that it can happen?
Oh, most definitely.
Thank you for being here today. We will be right back.
Thank you, Oprah. And again, I'm so sorry.
I've always been able to have empathy with people who've done really devastating, dark, and despicable things. I understand that the thing that you do is not you, and that everybody acts out of their own pain. Hearing that lesson from Maya early on in my career has been a great groundbreaker for me in terms of being able to have empathy for almost everybody I've talked to. And that is understanding that when you are clothed in ignorance, when you have your life lived not in the fullest sense of who I know you to be as a human being, you continually make mistakes until you can wake up and see the light of yourself. So I have a lot of empathy for other people's mistakes because I've made enough of my own. And I do realize that when you know better, when you're given the opportunity to know better, and you choose to do better, that you get to rise to the best of yourself.
When I saw the Oprah show in 1988 that had all the skinheads on, it kind of transported me back to my living room when I was 5 years old, 6 years old. Some extended family members that I had had a lot of those same views. They didn't like minorities, and in particular African Americans. I just thought of African American people as scary people. They were to be avoided. I heard the N-word, you know, pretty liberally used, and I didn't think it was bad to say it. It didn't really sound nice, but since all the adults were saying it, it must be okay. In watching the skinheads and how hateful and nasty they were, it just really kind of shook me, you know. It was awful, and it made me sick that I ever thought that that was normal and that I could anyway be categorized with those men that were on that show. I've learned a lot from Oprah. I won't allow people to use any racial slurs around me ever. When Oprah had the skinheads back in this last season, I was really shocked. If those guys could change, anybody could change. It just kind of goes along with what Oprah always says, when you know better, you do better. And, you know, they did better, and I've done better, and I hope everybody does better.
When you know better, do better doesn't have to always be in some dire circumstance. I mean, it could be as simple as not wearing pantyhose with your sandals, or in my case, knowing when to take your wig off. So this is what happened. Tina Turner came to Harpo for the first time. I'm upstairs in my office. I'm hearing her rehearse. I come downstairs and, oh my goodness, I've never seen or felt anything like that since. It was electrifying. It was exhilarating. It was stimulating. I just became an instant groupie. I just thought, oh my God, she's gonna come here and she's gonna do the show tomorrow, but that's not gonna be enough for me. I need to be with her as much as possible. I need to follow her. So I had this idea, how could I pack up the show and now be with Tina Turner? Really, it was the ultimate groupie story. So I did that at great expense to the show. We went around the country following Tina Turner, mainly so that I could go to Tina concerts every night in different cities. We built it around Tina's theme at the time, which was Wildest Dreams, created a Wildest Dreams tour, making wildest dreams come true for people. And I had a wig made so that I could be a part and close to Tina in wigdom. And then I wouldn't take the wig off. I did it for the show. I did it for the next show. I think we did 5 or 6 shows around the country. And I started wearing it on the weekends. I started wearing it to bed. I started wearing it at all times. I would have on that Tina wig. And one day Stedman came and said to me, I don't know when somebody's gonna tell you. Tell me what? Tell you that you are not Tina Turner. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, well, it's a problem. It's become a problem. I think you think you're Tina Turner. And you really should really be happy being Oprah Winfrey. And I said, I really am. I'm happy being Oprah Winfrey. And he goes, well, you need to act like it. And so I got rid of my Tina wigs, gave them all away. And the producers think that that was a no better, do better moment. I don't necessarily agree. Truth of the matter is, I still like my Tina wig. I still like my Tina wig. If I had it right now, I'd put it on. But, you know, I don't feel like that was such a terrible thing to put on the Tina wig. Could I have a little happiness here? Could I just have a little moment? It was just a Tina wig. I wasn't hurting anybody. I wasn't doing anything to cause any harm in the world. It was just me wearing a Tina wig. That's all. The truth is, when you know better, you do better in big areas in your life, in small areas of your life. The important thing is for you to figure out what that means in your own life. What does it mean when you know better, do better? What are you still doing that you know better and you keep repeating the same mistakes? When you know better, do better. Knock down the obstacles for yourself. Nobody can do it but you. If you're sitting around waiting on somebody else to change it for you, not gonna change. Figure out what that is and use this lesson to begin right now to start to up your game. Up your game.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.